Man, I'm Blaine. I'm an alcoholic. I'm currently in Orlando, Florida. I'm in the, literally in the process of moving up to Boston, Massachusetts, and I'll get to see another AA region, and it's been so wonderful being at this convention. I've just had this odd experience in AA where my professional life and my family have just moved around the country, and so I've got faces from like all the regions that I've seen because I live there. You know, I was down in Texas and up in Seattle for a while, and down in Florida now. And now I'm heading up, so I've got the Midwest. I don't know, maybe that's where I retire, right? But I didn't come into Alcoholics Anonymous having hit a bottom that day. It sort of happened in the first few months of being in here. I was interrupted by the law, you know. I apparently they didn't like my behavior, and the community didn't either. And that interruption brought me in. And it's and the thing that was amazing for me is the amount of information that I'd get face to face in our literature, in our meetings. That wasn't even directly from an individual. We have this interface, and certainly in our websites. Everything that AA publishes, you know, we're a publishing company in a lot of ways. Very first meeting I ever went to, there was a guy that I had talked to that came up to me after the meeting, and he said, you know, AA is a lot of things. It's a book, and it's a meeting, and it's a thing we do, and he kind of gave me this little speech that I still remember. And I think of it that way. We're this big kit of tricks, and the websites are the newest thing, and it touches all of them. You know, everything else we do can be posted there. Everything else we do can be referenced there. And I've been working in web professionally for over 20 years, and it's what I do on a day-to-day basis. You'll find me on my couch hunched over and ruining my neck, you know, and that's what I do. Well, in Alcoholics Anonymous, because of how I came in and because of how I was sort of interrupted, and because you guys showed me this completely different way. And allowed me to hit bottom while you were hugging me through it, as awful as that was, in the beginning. I am just given over to knowing that I've got a useful point in here, and I want to be that hug for the next person, and I'm constantly looking for a way to apply myself that way. And it's fantastic to find out in the last few years that as Alcoholics Anonymous is confronting a lot of technology discussion and what to do with our web and how to confront social media and all these, you know, different just facts of life. And we're maybe, we like to say that we're a little late to the game, but I don't know, we're where we are with, you know, what we're doing. And as that's been confronted, I've got these real-world talents that I can infuse and use, because I like to say we don't have a blue book yet for how to serve in technology in AA. There's not a manual like there is in archives and CPC and PI and accessibilities and et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And we don't have a place. There's like a tier missing, I think, in our service structure that can address all of this. And so things that are dealing with our websites, because all of those committees I just mentioned need to be served by the website as well. That website touches all of them. So it's like a committee that could serve the other committees, serve your servants. And I've had that experience professionally quite a bit, sitting in management meetings where they go around to human resources and payroll and, you know, the service guys, and they're all looking at me because I have a job to do when they all leave. The meeting was about the IT components that we needed that the IT manager needs to do. And we end up serving. And I think AA is just another type of organization. We may be an upside-down triangle. We may be an army of volunteers. But we're a group and a multitude of groups that has that dynamic, and specific to websites, we have to be aware of what that is. And it's very new because I think our websites largely look like I like to think of my 4-year-old. When she cleans her room, she takes all the toys and they go in one big box. Everything's in there. It's all definitely in there. It doesn't necessarily mean it's easy to find the next time. There may be a little digging, but the primary job has been done. It's in there. And it's not everywhere, you know. It's in theory findable, but we're getting to the point where we need to address the little nuances of how to organize that box a little better, how to make that interface, how to make all those different types of things that we're trying to show to people, whether they're in Alcoholics Anonymous or you know, outside, or just becoming new, or in the professional community, or wherever, they need that interface to kind of guide them into it. And I heard something that somebody who was a marketing professional said a number of years ago that really stuck with me. That she said that marketing was about having conversations. And I never really thought of it because I think of marketing as billboards and advertisements and whatnot. But that they're strategically building conversations that can be had between you and that advertisement when you're not there. And our whole deal is 12-step. It's one alcoholic talking to another alcoholic. That's our magic, right? Well, if I'm not physically there at the moment and the website doesn't say anything like what I might have said, it's a little confusing to the user or the newcomer or the servant or whoever it is that needs to find whatever they're trying to find. The one thing that I do want to say, because I know, and I've been guilty of it too, a lot of times in kind of newer anonymity and technology talks in AA, when we start, accessing this subject, there's a lot of talk about, as soon as you talk about service, I think in general maybe, there's a tendency to talk about how bad we're doing it, right? There's so much that we should be doing that we're not doing, and it becomes this sort of downtrodden burden that we've all done it wrong. And I don't think that way. It's an opportunity, and it's just an immense opportunity. There's more than my lifetime to keep me sober doing service work, and it's not going to end. And this is just one category of it that I like today, and it'll be great when I think we get it standardized a little bit, because I want to rotate. I want to do one of those other committees as well. Excuse me, that I was just talking about. I think that we have a service problem more than we have a technology problem, though. Meaning, I think that we have plenty of technical people in AA, if we need a volunteer rather than a vendor to do a specific piece of technical work. I think what we're missing, and in fact what I think we're trying to delegate, maybe without thinking, by accident, we're handing that technical guy the whole job. He's the one to build the requirements. So, and I've seen it. I've sat in an intergroup meeting where you're talking about, websites in general, and instead of having a conversation that spans a group inventory and a number of months and meetings and groups coming back with information that essentially defines this is how we want the website to have that conversation with whoever's using it, what instead happens is the webmaster says something that sounds good, and a lot of people in the room, I think, they think, well, he must know more than I about that thing, and they want to delegate to you the whole task. Which suddenly means that I, who might have 6 months sobriety, but is a whiz on a keyboard, right, am now going to define for you what your intergroup's interface is to everybody that will use it. Not the committee members that have been long serving in that area that know the local culture and have sponsored a lot of people and are involved in the nuances of whatever's going on there. And that's what we really need, that conversation first, before we get to the solution. I think we have a tendency to go tactical and jump in there and go, let's build a thing, and then we'll tweak it a little and we'll evolve it. And I think I've heard it quite a lot in terms of like, well, let's do it the best we can with what we have today, and we'll always come back and there's room for growth, right? And that, I agree, we just don't go back a lot. It's usually the one guy that goes back and adds a little thing. And unfortunately, in technology, it moves so fast. By the time that one guy did it over his 2-year rotation, that technology is irrelevant anyway. Like in the marketplace, the users don't want it anymore. I don't want that on my phone. It was 2 years ago, or whatever it is. So the responsibility side of delegation is that when I assign this authority out to somebody who might do it, I don't go away, right? I'm here waiting for it to finish. And in a lot of ways, if it doesn't finish or it doesn't hit or it doesn't do what we're trying to, whatever the intention was, I'm on the hook for that, right? I'm in the face of that project that got handed out. And I think it's hard to do that, especially when volunteer work is not like paid work, right? The volunteer time is it'll be today or 400 days. Whenever I'm somewhere in any of that or never, and the next guy will do it, is when you'll get it done. And if we need it, and if AA really does need it done faster than that, if our website really needs to serve something, and there's a level of service that we've decided in our inner group that needs to be available to our newcomers, because that's what we're trying to do on that website, or to our service workers who are using it for information or whatever, or my area's website and its password area, whoever it needs to serve in whatever way that we've agreed to serve it, if we're being responsible for that thing that we're agreeing to do and telling people that's what it is, if volunteer time can't handle that, I think we need a vendor, and we need to decide that we're going to pay for it because vendors cost money, and that's what's, that's new territory, and honestly, even that is solutioning, right? We can't get to that. I wouldn't go and get a vendor and then come and start the project. I'd have that conversation. Let's find the 150 questions that need to be asked, and then let's answer them for ourselves, and then go to the vendor and say, here's this thing, and they'll go, I can solve that problem because that's what I do for a living, and that's, you know, that's what I do. The one side of it that's probably even more important, and I'm kind of wondering if I could just do a quick room survey. How many people are technical in the room? How many people are like webmasters? And so it's 60% maybe. I think it's at least 50-50 from what I'm seeing, which is kind of what I was hoping. Because what I'm talking about, I think I have homework for both crowds here. Everyone that just raised their hand are those implementers that I'm talking about. We've got tech skills and we need to do things. We may also be longtime AA members and we can come up with what I'd call requirements, right? But the rest of the room, we need your home groups literally to tell your intergroup rep and your GSR to go to their meetings and say this specifically. When they come back from one of those meetings and they said the blah, blah, blah service organization is talking about the website and it does this, and then we leave our group conscience meeting and that's the end, and no one comes back next month, that GSR, that intergroup rep, is going to go back to that meeting and either make up nothing to say, there's no report, right? Or they may personally get involved just because they feel inspired. But the you know, I'm looking at all the CEOs of Alcoholics Anonymous in here. That's what we are when we walk in the door, right? And our triangle goes down. And we need to tell our servants what those specific things are. I'll take it on a napkin. If I got 80 napkins from my local district, you know, on Q&A and what they'd like, I'll put it in a pretty document and call it requirements. You guys don't need to do that part. But if you can just more feedback, don't delegate the thinking to the people that are the analytics, you know, that are the builders. But then again, and I want to keep coming back to it, I don't think AA is broken. There's nothing broken here. We're working fine. We just have a new project and a new opportunity. But I do want to say that we have a need. I think I used to express it a lot like I was trying to empower people to get involved in a project. Like, let's go do this fun thing that's very servicey. And then people go, oh, you seem really interested in that. And they go away. I really want you to know I need help. I really need your help because I cannot do it. I can do part of it. And the thing I will do will be inadequate to the task that you maybe haven't been involved in the question yet. I really need that help. And those technical people, they may not be saying it yet, but that's what they're really telling you. And help is what we do. Because if I go in my meeting and I raise my hand and I say I need help, I always get help. But I don't always necessarily inspire everybody to go to the picnic that I want to go to necessarily, right? Lots of people may not. It becomes very, very fluffy. But we've got a need. And the need, I think... sure, we can express it in terms of the newcomer using the websites, that he needs to be, he may not know what a meeting is, and he's presented with meetings, then they may have a wherewithal that meetings are what they need. The new GSR, looking at the district website, may or may not get access to what they want. They may not know which questions to ask, and that conversation on the website probably needs to tell them, you know. If you're this type of person, here's a question or something that they would ask intuitively when they're, you know, this area for you. The big arrow, you know, that's I think what our stuff needs to say. I'm also wondering about international people. How many people in the room are actually from other than the U.S.? Did we get much of a crowd in there? Perfect. Our websites are international websites. We don't think of them that way, but they go on the web. They're available everywhere. There's no padlock stopping them from being everywhere. Our fourth tradition, right? We're autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or AA as a whole. As soon as you put that website up there and someone's seen it, you've affected somebody that's probably not in your group. And your website is an example of what AA looks like. And a total example. It's not, you can put your district's name on it, it doesn't become much less of an example to any other entity that's not a district. It's there and it affects all of it and it's one big piece. And so we do have to collaborate and cooperate. Our group autonomousness, I don't know what the word there is, our group being singular in sort of local function isn't changed by the fact that as soon as it does that, it's caused something. And if in our intergroups and areas are serving our groups, and our groups have asked them to be there, then likewise that area is our group's responsibility. We really need that feedback. Let me see. I've got one last piece that I want to talk to all those technical people. The thing that I spend, like, I think I've spent more than 100 hours on online meetings and Skype meetings and just doing outreach. This This last year, we had the National AA Technology Workshop, which is the first time we've had an event that was a sharing event where people that are interested in how technology and web affects Alcoholics Anonymous had a place to just go start talking about that. It was kind of the grassroots little place, and it's very similar to a couple other national conferences that we have. It'll be here again in St. Louis, I think, October 2nd weekend this coming year. And, a lot of us, even I can see a lot of faces in the room here that were here last year, and we're trying to hit this from all angles and say a lot of the same things. One of the things that we've been talking a lot in conversations, as I've found new people that have heard about the workshop and they call up, and you can send me an email from anywhere on the planet and I'll get on the phone. You know, I've got time during the day. I'm a flex worker, and I just spend a lot of time doing that because I'm just passionate about it, and it's part of service work for AA, is passing it on, right? Pass it on is what we do here. We do something. We're really good at repeating things. Look at this international convention that's they do it every time. We have our meetings every time, and we repeat them. We create literature that needs to, pass on our message in a certain way that's repeatable. And we're really good at doing that mechanic. When it comes to our technology, partially because of volunteerism, partially because of this missing service layer that I'm talking about, partially because of organizational dynamic, there's just all kinds of things. We don't spend a whole lot of time passing it on until about those last 4 days when we're about to pass it on. And when it comes to websites, if we've chosen a technology and it's got passwords and it's got design and it's got code and it was chosen for a certain reason, or we took a chunk of something from over here and put it in and the next guy doesn't know how to do that, it would be probably nice at this day and age. I think we've spent about 15 years experimenting on the web. It would be great today if before we build the website at all right now, we have a really good discussion of how does our entity, group, area, intergroup think that passing it on, how do we want to be responsible for that? Have we chosen a technology that we think we can find the volunteer when we need it? Or are we ready to pay a certain budget every month so that we know we're thinking about that? And I don't think we have to be right about how we do it, but I think we have to be forthright about making that decision up front and saying, this is where our responsibility to support it will lie, so that when it comes around, if you can't support it, at least we've got a reference point and we can up the dollar amount or lower the technology grade to something that can be supported better, and start talking about that. And all of these conversations, capture, and send them with your service people. Our general service office, our board, our general service conference right now, there's conversations going on in every one of those that are related to technology. And as those discussions you're having come up, they will be captured now in reporting, and it's all kind of coming together. It's really, really cool stuff. So I think that's all I have to say. Thanks.
Thank you so much, Blaine. I wanted to just comment real quick about the fact that the International Convention Committee sent out an email to many of the central offices asking for volunteers to chair meetings, speak at meetings, and do any number of the duties that go on during the convention. And I answered one of those emails, saying I'd be happy to volunteer in any way, shape, or form, and they came back at me and said, great, would you like to speak on a panel on any number of these topics? And one of those topics was AA websites. And I checked off every topic except AA websites. And I must tell you, thank God I'm just chairing today. I'd like to introduce Melissa. Thank you.
Hey, y'all. I'm Melissa. I'm an alcoholic. I am from Durham, North Carolina. If you're ever there, stop in and see me at my home group. It's the Outback Group on Wednesdays. It's a wonderful meeting at 7 o'clock with a rotating format. So I'm going to talk a little bit from a user perspective. And so I'll tell you a little bit about my story and how I found AA. So my sobriety date is November 1st, 1997. I'm so grateful that Facebook wasn't around when I was in college drinking. I have a lot of pictures, but they're not online. So I was first introduced to AA through my mother, who is sober 28 years at this point. And so as a teenager, so this was like in 92, I was dragged to Alcathons It was bad. But I had that personal connection. So when I realized, when I was done with college and I had my 8 years of drinking and realized I might possibly be an alcoholic, I had this personal connection who took me to AA. And I pretty early in sobriety moved to San Francisco. It was a plan I'd had, so I moved to San Francisco with about 6 weeks of sobriety. I didn't have a sponsor at the time who could tell me no, that's a bad idea. And it actually worked out really well for me because I didn't actually want to be in meetings all the time with my mom and her friends. And so when I moved to San Francisco, I called Intergroup. So this was like January 2nd, 1998. I didn't go on the internet to try to figure out where the meeting was. I called Intergroup, and I got a really friendly voice who was like, "Hey, where are you staying?" I was like, "Well, I'm staying on Mason Street in downtown San Francisco." And they, "Oh, okay, there's a meeting on Monday at Post and Mason. It's at this time, blah, blah, blah." And this friendly voice on the phone got me to a meeting. And that meeting ended up being my home group. It ended up being where I found my sponsor, my friend, Australian Kate, that I wouldn't be sober with if it weren't for her, honestly. And so there it was all about when you were at a new city, because I traveled around different places, it was just like call the number and get a print schedule as soon as you could. And I'm sure some of you totally remember that. Like, I just remember once I got to the meeting, I was like, okay, now I have a schedule, and now I have, like, the key to, like, where all these meetings are and that sort of thing. And if I had a map and the schedule, I was good to go. And then, of course, this started to change in the early 2000s, right, as, like, we're doing more internet now and checking out things a little bit more online and that sort of thing. But I'm still finding huge value in those print schedules when I'm going places. And then I feel like everything shifted in 2007 when all of a sudden smartphones came into play. And at that point, I'm not looking for a print schedule, right? I'm just looking on my phone. And when I was thinking about it today, I was thinking, I haven't called Intergroup in 10 years. I really haven't, you know? But I called them a lot my first few years. But nowadays, somebody who's new to AA, they're not going to get that friendly voice that goes, "Oh, yeah, where are you staying? Let me walk around," that sort of thing. Like, it's quite possible somebody won't make that phone call. It's quite possible that they're going to go to the website that I'm really hoping has that friendly voice, the same kind of friendly, user-friendly kind of experience that I had, that somebody was obviously caring for me on the other side of the line. And I think we fall down there. We fall down. But it's fixable. It's doable. One of the things I do for a living is user experience and content strategy for websites. And there are principles we can follow. There's best practices we've learned, not only just in general in the industry, but in AA, you know, from people who are the technology folks as well as other folks. So I'm going to share a little bit about local websites in my area in North Carolina. So I live in Durham, which is 10 miles from Chapel Hill. So it's like Duke and UNC. We have a lot of animosity between us, the schools and the places. But we actually, AA is totally overlapping all the time. We're always going back and forth. But somehow we have the dividing line for our district is smack in the middle. So we have two different websites. So we spend a lot of time on two different local websites. I'm not sure who came up with this plan, but it's really kind of an odd thing. So we're going to two different websites to get information about where groups are, if we forget things, that sort of thing. And so just recently, I looked up a meeting, and I thought, okay, let me check the address on that meeting, and I looked it up on my phone. So kudos to them, because they have a mobile-friendly website, right? So on my phone, no problem, able to get the address, terrific. Drive there, show up, oops, wrong address, you know? And for me, okay, not a huge deal. I have tools, right? I have people I can text. I have a sponsor I can call, be like, where'd that meeting go? What happened to that meeting? That sort of thing. I know where other meetings are that same day. It's not a problem for me. But for somebody who's new, it might be like, oh, well, moving on. Let's go back to Google. Let's go find something else. Oh, I'm going to try this treatment center. Or maybe I won't even try it all. Maybe I should just go to the bar. I'm amazed at how people give up so quickly on websites in general, not just alcoholics and AA, but people just move on very fast. And so I think of somebody who's in a tough place and having a tough time, and I think, how much patience do they have when they hit our local websites? Do they come in with a lot of goodwill? No, they're probably like totally hungover and frustrated and annoyed and tired, and I want to make sure they have like a good experience, right? I talked to somebody on our website committee locally, because he was picking up something at our house, because he's my husband's sponsee, and I was like, hey, how's it going? He's like, I just had a good meeting with our subcommittee, and we're working on the website. And I was like, that's great. He goes, yeah, we decided to just check and make sure, like, the online schedule was matching the print schedule. And I thought I'd find a few things. And I'm like, yeah, did you find a few things? He goes, yeah, we found 50. 50 things that didn't match between the print schedule and the online schedule. And I said, wow, that's a lot, Jonathan. I'm like, so which one's right? He goes, we don't know. And I was like, oh, wow. So now they're, like, in this process of researching, like, figure out, like, what's going on and who's got the right information and that sort of thing. And, like, that's just kind of a mess, right? I checked out the San Francisco website because I thought, oh, yeah, let me go visit it because I actually didn't really visit it when I actually lived there and stuff. And I noticed the really small print that, you know, we know that people tend to like larger print, especially our older folks, which is good. And I like large print, too, right? I noticed how cluttered it felt. I noticed it had, like, 25 links above the fold. I didn't have to scroll, and I was like, wow, 25 links. That's a lot to click on. So it just felt dated. I thought, oh, yeah, is that the impression they're getting? Like, A is dated? Like, this was cool a while ago? I don't know. You know, but people, again, they're not going to get that friendly voice on the phone necessarily. They're going to Google. A lot of the time, people are going to be Googling and checking out our websites. So it just definitely makes me think a lot about kind of how we're presenting ourselves and knowing that we just really need to put attention to this area, that it's a really important area of communication. And I was, so one of the things I do for a living is I write sometimes blog posts, and I wrote a post for an e-commerce web development shop. And I'd interviewed some people for this post, and one of the women I talked to was a user experience designer in Pennsylvania, and she really convinced me of this idea. She really talked about how the idea of designing for the majority is wrong. She was like, you need to design for drunk people. You need to design for the outliers, and then everybody is covered. And like, and when I was like, haha, that's funny, you know, because it is kind of funny, and people in our industry will joke about that. But like for AA, it's like real. Like, design for drunks. Like, people who are still really out of it because it's the next morning. We really need to make sure we're covering everybody in the spectrum, right? So thinking of areas of accessibility, you know? So we're designing for the drunk person. We're designing for an angry person. We're designing for a blind person and making sure screen readers are going to be interacting well with our website. We're going to design for somebody who's colorblind. We're going to make sure we take care of the minority because that's what we do in AA. The minority has a voice in AA, and we remember the minority, and we pay attention to the minority. And so if you have trouble with websites, just please speak up to the people in your area so they know that you're having trouble. And I think those kinds of things, is really designing for the outliers, will really help us. It'll help all of us. Because when you make it more accessible for somebody who's hungover or really frustrated or tired, it makes it more accessible for everybody. It just makes a better experience for everybody. So it's just a win-win all the way around. And the last thing I really wanted to say is that it's really all of our jobs, right? It's not just the job of the person who's like the AA webmaster. It is all of our jobs to make sure that we're carrying the message with our website. I appreciated what Blaine was talking about like getting more people more involved and people with the technical skills who are in AA volunteering, but I think we actually need people who are certainly not technically inclined involved, right? And get their input on, as he mentioned, issues that are important for our websites. Get people involved who can test our websites out as if they'd never been there before. Get the person who's a week sober. Get your sponsee, you know? Here, try this website. We're doing this thing. Can you try this out and see if you can find a meeting on Friday? That sort of thing. I think getting more people involved is really important. Because when I think to my Durham website, and I think about how there were 50 items that weren't the same, 50 items that didn't match between the print schedule and the online schedule, is that the fault of the webmaster? Is that the fault of the print person? Or is that kind of like everybody's responsibility? What about like those 50 home groups who nobody bothered to like check to make sure that their home group was like showing up online or in the print schedule accurately, right? Like we all fell down. We all fell down. But the good thing is that because of responsibility, it can be shared by a lot of people, we can all improve together. And we can all work together. And I really think that is really important for us to carry the message. And that idea of unity in Tradition 1 is that, like, it's not just, like, the webmaster's job to do everything. So encourage your fellow people in the meetings you're with, right? Please tell us when your meeting changed. Please tell us when the time changes. Please tell us if you're having problems with the website. please provide a place on your website so people can give feedback to you, right? Because somebody is more likely to tell you. I mean, I've certainly been guilty of this, of where I've gone to a meeting that didn't exist anymore, and I didn't actually ever tell anybody that it didn't exist anymore. I just let the next alcoholic be disappointed too. I'm completely guilty of that. And I need to not do that, right? I need to like make sure, okay, it should be a better experience for the next person. So I show up at a meeting, it's actually the wrong time, or it's actually not even at this place. Okay, I need to call somebody, email the webmaster, and just let them even be aware that there is an issue going on. So the last thing I just want to say is, if you are one of the technical people who are interested in bettering your website and you don't know much about usability or user experience, please talk to me afterwards, and I'd be happy to point you to some resources to just make sure that you're making your websites as user-friendly, as newcomer-friendly as they could possibly be. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Melissa. I was thinking about Melissa's idea that we should make our websites for drunks, and I thought about the fact that when I first got here, if I had gone to a website and it said cure, and I clicked on that, and there were 12 steps, you know. honestly, it's the truth, you know. Help me, God. And I clicked on it, and it said, get a big book, get a God, get a sponsor, get it on. I don't know. Could have learned a lot in the beginning, right? I'd like to introduce Greg from Arizona.
We love you, Greg!
Thanks, Dee! Hi, everybody. My name is Greg Stafford, alcoholic. I'm from Mesa, Arizona. My sobriety date is September 4th, 1989. Pardon me, my voice is going a little bit. I was at this really big meeting last night over in the Georgia Dome and apparently did a little bit too much hooping and hollering, having just a really good time. So, yeah, I woke up this morning. My voice was kind of gone. I'm like, oh, great, I'm supposed to speak this afternoon, you know. But anyway, I'm really honored and privileged to be here, to be able to speak to you all at an international convention. And happy 4th of July, by the way. And I'd like to say that it's really nice to spend yet another holiday not in jail. So, you know, yeah, there's a lot to be said for that. So, anyway, I've heard some really good stuff here, and I was going to go just maybe a little bit different aspect of the topic here. I'm currently serving as the Arizona Area 03 Technology Coordinator, which is basically the web guy. When I took the position, all of a sudden I'd go around the state or at assemblies, and I wasn't Greg anymore. It's like, oh, you're the web guy. I'm like, yeah, that's me. Yeah, yeah. So basically, let me give you a little quick background on. I know different areas kind of work different ways; they function different ways. We kind of pattern our area after the General Service Conference. You know, we have a panel system, we have committees. Some areas, what they call chairs, like a treatment chair, we call them coordinators, that type of thing. So what I want to talk about really here is a little bit more on what we do in Area 03 with our actual website and how what the things we have been doing, where we started, where we're at now, and what we want to do to better serve the membership as a whole in Arizona. And to be able to get our information to our GSRs and our DCMs so they can get this information to the home groups, so they can bring it back, so we can get this to our delegate, and our delegate can take this information to the General Service Conference. That's really the primary function of the Arizona Area 03 website. Let me read you real quick here. You know, we do have an actual mission statement on our website. It is area03.org, by the way. This explains really what our website is about. It is the purpose of the Arizona Area website is to carry the message of Alcoholics Anonymous by providing a resource on the Internet where alcoholics can get information about the activities and business pertaining to the Arizona Area of Alcoholics Anonymous. Now, this website was created well before I took the position, and this was already established this way, is that's the way this was going to go. And trust me, I have gotten many emails over the last few years from people saying, gee, you don't have enough 12-step information. You don't have enough of you know, for the newcomer and this type of thing. We do have information on here and some pages and links for newcomers, but that's not really the primary mission of our particular website. Our intergroups and some other another area websites fulfill that need very well. What we're trying to do here is to provide the information to facilitate the membership to carry out our primary purpose is really kind of how we look at it. Our website, actually, if I want to go back over our structure just a little bit real quick, we have elected coordinators that are elected on a two-year rotation basis, but we also have four appointed coordinators. They're appointed because I guess it was deemed that they have real specific skill sets that really not a large pool of people would have. And so basically, once a year, you put in a resume and a letter of intent and application to our area administrative committee. They review them. They give you a call and say, hey, you're it for the year. You know, it's kind of that way. It's your job, you know. And so being that it's not a rotating position, I was thrilled to death. I've been in service for quite a while. I've done GSR, DCM, and in 2009, it was our election year, and I was a DCM for one of our districts at the time. I was also the corrections panel chair, and my rotation was over, and I was kind of wondering, well, you know, I'm probably going to stand for something. There's going to be something come up, and although I'd never really thought about this position, I wasn't real aware of the actual position, quite honestly, at the time. The currently serving technology coordinator stood for a rotating elected coordinator position and got it, which left that position available. And somebody came to me and said, well, Greg, you're a web developer. Do you know this position's available? And I'm like, holy cow, really? You know, put in my application, and I've so far been doing it ever since for a couple of reasons. I don't want to hog the job, and I believe in rotation, don't get me wrong. For one, I don't think anybody's ever applied for it but me every year. Quite honestly, I don't think anybody else wants to do it. You know, I don't know. But I do keep reapplying because we had a really pretty good foundation, and my predecessor did a good job of getting a real good base. And you have to remember that, you know. Now, this is in 2009. I actually started the position in the first of 2010. And, you know, I mean, it's like those are computer years. Those are technology years, you know. So our site was at a certain point. And as I got into the website and got familiar with it and the platform and what we were doing and what was available, by my experience as being a GSR and a DCM and a panel chair and this type of thing, I was able to kind of sit back and go, you know, we have a lot of information here that we should take a look at maybe starting to present in a digital format. And I'm starting to see some things we can actually do with this website to maybe, hopefully, you know, get more information in a more timely manner to our GSRs and to our DCMs and to our membership. And so this whole kind of plan started falling into place. And I will also say that in Area 03, we have a website committee. So the things that happen on our website and the content that goes in and the decisions are made are not made by me alone or the position alone. We have a website committee that meets. Our website committee is made up of, a couple other of our coordinators. A couple officers are always assigned on this committee. We have at-large members to where we get the non-technical input, and that's kind of the point of the website committee, so that we can all discuss things that we would like to do, what can we do, what should we be doing, and we can get it from different perspectives. We have the technology input into this, we have the user in can give us our input, and we have discussion on these things. And we have very good discussion, a very thorough discussion. And when it comes down to deciding to implement something that we think will be of a benefit to the area as a whole, then we'll start putting a plan in place to see if we can, you know, make this thing happen. And we are very careful about it. And again, like Blaine's mentioned before, the discussion is paramount here. It's really easy on the internet to kind of, you know, do some knee-jerk things and turn around and go back and go, oh crap, well, you know, we probably really shouldn't have done that. Or, no, we can't really, we didn't think about sustaining this function, or we didn't, you know, this type of thing. So what we've been able to do with our website, actually, I mean, you know, we have quite a bit of content. We work on the navigation and making the content easily available and easy to find. I did a lot of that right up front, actually. We have about 76 pages, actually, available up there. We serve up around 375 documents. We provide things on our website. Not only do we have space for all of our districts where we post district information, we have space and pages for our committees, you know, such as your treatment committee, literature, or, you know, finance, whatever. All the committees have spaces. We keep running usually 2 years' worth of our newsletters. Our newsletters are all posted up there. We sanitize all of our information. When we started getting into these type of things and the requests for content to be put up came up, you know, a lot of work was done by a lot of the other servants. You know, somebody had asked sometime, you know, can we sanitize our past actions book and put this on the website for our GSRs or whoever to have access to help area be very transparent. If the membership wants to know what we're doing in area, they can actually go to our website and they can pretty much see everything we do, what we have done. It's all there. Hopefully someone will get interested in this and go, you know, this looks like this service works, looks like a really good thing. You know, maybe I want to get involved. You know, we're trying not to, you know, we're not the best kept secret. We're trying not to do that. You know, we're trying to get this information available. Our handbook is sanitizing out there. We had, I think, as our maybe secretary in the past, Ella, and a couple people came together when this was presented to, hey, we'd like to do the past action book. They came together and said, you know what, we'll sit down and start sanitizing this thing. God bless them, because that's a daunting task. That was a lot of work to do this. Once it was done, we are now able to keep a sanitized version ongoing. So a lot of the upfront work was very tedious, time-consuming, and daunting work. Once it was accomplished, though, we have the mechanisms in place to keep it going that way, and we do that. After assembly, certain things are done. We update the past actions book. If there was any our area handbook actions changed, that gets updated. It goes back on the website again. If any discussion comes up during an assembly and there's any question about things, we have GSRs sitting out there. They may be a new GSR. Maybe it's their first assembly or something. They don't have a copy of the handbook or whatever. They get on their phone real quick, and they go to our website, and they hit handbook, and they pull it up, and they see what we're talking about right then and there. Our membership's getting a lot younger. And I don't know about y'all, but at our assemblies, man, you know, it's like everybody's on their phone, and they're all getting their information. That's just how it's going. You know, that said, that's the type of stuff we do. Now, we also provide our panel topics, actually, digitally now, pretty much all the way across the board. We do have our panel chairs do bring hard copies for those that do not have an internet access or not real, you know, they're more digitally challenged, shall we say. And we're always conscious of that, though. You know, we do not want to exclude somebody just because they don't have email or do not have other online access. You know, we do a lot of things to make sure if we need to get hard copy stuff to people, we'll get it to you. Not a problem. We're very conscious of that. I think, as anything in technology concerning Alcoholics Anonymous always has to keep that in mind. There's always going to be some percentage, some faction of people that, you know, a lot of people, if they were like me, although I got in the program, you know, before a lot of technology, I mean, the only thing I owned was in a little bag, man. You know, I didn't have computers. I didn't have cell phones. I didn't have this stuff. You know, and it took me a long time to start getting that stuff, you know. So we always want to make sure that we can provide for those that don't have all the digital access that you know, we kind of take for granted, quite honestly. So we do a pretty good job of that at area. On the general service conference topics, you know, in the past, our past process was that we would print out thousands of dollars worth and boxes and boxes and boxes of copies of all the topics that came down from the conference that our delegate wants us to look at, so on and so forth. Now we can safely and securely, password protected, shielded from internet search engines and bots, we can provide the panel topics with full background information for download distribution. Once we started doing that, we've never seen our GSRs so prepared at an assembly ever. They come in, they know what we're going to discuss. They have discussed this stuff with their home groups. They have all the background information. They come back, they tell us what their home groups feel about certain things. I mean, it's a wonderful thing. They're provided, you know. When an assembly, this information also is another security measure. It's only up on our website for secure access for the time period of when we put it out, usually 4 to 6 weeks before an assembly. And, I take it down the day after. That stuff comes off, you know. So we have to protect anonymity at all costs. And quite honestly, as we all know, the only way to really be secure on the Internet is just don't be on the Internet, you know. But, you know, we really don't. We haven't had, there hasn't been any issues, any problems at all. So this is another function that we can provide with our website. We have some things coming up we're working on that Blaine was talking about that I would really be interested in talking more at the technology workshop about, too. It seems to be a very common thing. Is the meeting list issue. You know, it's pretty much everywhere. You know, there's every entity's got a different meeting list. They're different. Some have good information. Some are current. Some are not. You know, it's the same in Arizona. We are working on something that's been in the process for a couple of years now. A lot of planning, a lot of work. We are going to be rolling out a new meeting list, online meeting list system for our website. We have one that's current. We have an online meeting list on our website. It's another tool available to everybody, and it is searchable, not by all the criteria we want. And we also know that it has a lot of bad information. We got 2,000 meetings in there, man. There's no way you can task even a group of people to try to clean this stuff up. It's been attempted. Some effort's been made. Some progress has been made. But it's never going to, you know, it's meetings that have been accumulated for 15 years, you know. And it's just impossible to know what's good and what's bad. We do have a process and a plan in place to try to make an effort to realign this and to get a more current, reliable meeting list going and to hopefully get all the entities involved, like the intergroups and everybody, to buy into this. That's the tough part. The architecture and implementing thing is about 20% of it. Getting all the other alcoholics to buy into it and use it, that's the other 80%. You know, that's what we're going to be faced with. But we're going to try. You know, we're starting someplace, and that's really all we can do is make a start at it and just kind of see where it goes, you know, and see if we can, you know, get something going here. We know that what we have is broken. We know that, and we're aware of it. We don't know for sure what the exact fix is. What we do know, though, is that we do have a plan in place that we're going to, you know, make an attempt to start moving in a more forward direction and try to get it fixed and see what we can do with it. So that said, that's kind of what we do at Arizona Area 03, and I know that all areas and states and stuff are a little bit different. I did also want to touch on something else that I heard here, too. We do have the same issue that pretty much everybody else does also, is that a lot of entities or groups will come along, maybe districts or small sub-districts and stuff like that. They got a little extra money, and they're like, you know, why don't we start a website? We have that a lot in Arizona. Right now I'm actually dealing with and trying to help a couple that have done exactly like Blaine had touched on. I mean, this is real. This is an experience that they don't have anybody to update their website. They don't know who registered the domain name and who has the passwords. They're gone. They don't know what to do, you know. And I've been doing this for 5 years, and yet it comes up pretty often, quite honestly. So I will back up what Blaine was talking about, that, you know, that when if somebody's talking about wanting to do a website, it really needs, I would suggest it gets discussed very thoroughly, you know, and are we going to have the volunteers and the mechanism to be able to maintain and sustain this? You know, we really need to take a look at what we're doing. You know, is it really necessary? Is this information already being provided somewhere else? And if it's not being provided the way you like it to be provided, have you contacted that provider and said, you know, can you help us out? You know, so there's a lot of different avenues with all that. And like Melissa was talking about, too, on the usability of the sites, I was talking to her earlier, one of the first things when I took the site over is I started getting emails from our older membership going, Greg, can you make the type bigger, please? You know, I mean, yes, I can. Thank you. You know, so you know, I get a lot of requests for a lot of things. There are things that we do on the site, and we do pretty well. There's things we need to do better and improve on. I will touch on a couple things we don't do. We get requests to do things on the website quite often because a lot of people see a lot of technology being used out there on other websites for other functions and other things. A lot of times, not understanding that, you know, this company's got a $20 million website IT corporation, 30 people on staff doing this stuff. As much as we would love to, we don't, you know. So we have to be a little bit practical about some things. And we do not do forums. This has come up quite often, even amongst our coordinators. They would like to have forums that they can use to communicate amongst themselves and their peers. I get that. I think it's the theory of the communication and the process is a very good thing from a practical standpoint for Area 03 on our website and the volunteers that we have to maintain the website is, you know, there's just right now not the manpower to moderate it, maintain it, deal with all the, you know, registration spams and bombardments and all the issues that come along with a forum. So we decided that, you know, right now we're not going to do that. You know, maybe if things change in technology down the road and it's more manageable, we can take a look at it. You know, right now we don't for that reason. You know, we deliver the content we have. We are very fully aware we can't get in over our heads on what the service commitment is on how much work needs to go into maintaining this thing. So we try to, as Blaine said, we try to keep it at a level that right now we know is manageable, and we will provide the best that we can within that level. And I think my time's about up. I'm really humbly grateful to be here, and thank you all for letting me share.